둘, 셋, 파!
Borahe Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
A little early here, but that's okay. I'm an early bird.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here, for checking out the episode. Please do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Three interviews a week to keep you up to date on your favorite artists and discover the new ones. Of course, you can grab us anywhere you get your podcasts from. That includes Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Why? Because so many great guests are stopping by all the time. Les Claypool of Primus was just here. David Yao of The Jesus Lizard. Actors Keith Power and John Luis Castellanos from the movie Uglies. Comedian, musician John Early was just here. Father John Misty, Sugar Ray Rayford. He is the Grammy-nominated blues artist. Kiana Simone, who stars in The Supremes at Earl's All You Can Eat. Akon dropped by to talk about the 20th anniversary of Trouble. Michelle and Deggy Ocello, Los Lonely Boys, Edie Brickell, the cast of Bad Monkey, Rob Halford of Judas Priest, Dave Navarro of Jane's Addiction. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith, today talking with comedian musician Tim Heidecker. He is back with a brand new record called Slipping Away. He's going to take us back to his earliest days playing in bands before his career took off in comedy and acting, as well as learning to be more earnest in his songwriting, tapping into fears and election anxiety, and getting past the fan expectations of his ironic personas. Tim's also going to tell the story of how meeting a homeless young person in Vancouver led to his song, Hey, Would You Call My Mom, as well as touring with Waxahachie, his role in A24's Y2K, and driving around a croc-wearing Frank Black of Pixies in a minivan. All that's and more as we discuss Slipping Away. It's Kyle Meredith with Tim Heidecker.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Of course, I love your comedy, but this other life that you've had over the years, I mean, for as long as you've been doing the comedy, has been as much fun to follow. And this new record, Slipping Away, I know this is where we would put a compliment at the beginning of the interview, but I really do mean this. This album is so good. It's fun to listen to. And, you know, the emotions, like, it's everything I want out of an album. I really mean that.
Thank you.
I mean, you've always been doing this, right?
Yeah.
I think if people follow you, they'll know this. But for the people who don't, you've been a musician for what, since your teens?
Yeah, I would say so. It was kind of dual tracks in my life where I loved comedy and loved music. I think that's true, and acting and making things. And so I feel like it's not unusual for, you know, actors who want to make music or musicians who want to act, or, you know, because we all kind of start from a place of just wanting to be creative and make stuff, and certain things catch earlier than other things, or, you know, you have a certain break in a certain area that leads you to focus on something. But yeah, it's always been, music was always in my comedy as well. So I kind of honed my craft a little bit by making music for Tim and Eric and working with our collaborators. So it's always been a creative outlet for me.
You were talking about that creativity too. I was watching one of your most recent Official Office Hours, and it's coincidentally, we both had E from Ills.
Yeah.
It was about the same time. It was always great to talk to, but it's just that idea of that creativity. And like, here's something else, like the Office Hours, especially, like, it happened before then, it's always happened, but especially I think pandemic wise, once that hit and everyone said, oh, now I get to be creative inside, you know, it's more of an insular creativity. And do you feel like it's been different? Like your avenues to creativity in the past decade, as it's sort of looked out here, because, you know, technology, et cetera, it just looks like we're all able to stay creative more instead of having to depend on, well, is my agent going to find something?
Yeah. I mean, I learned 10 or so years ago, basic rudimentary home recording techniques, and started amassing, you know, guitars and equipment to like be able to start learning how to make stuff on my own. But at the same time, I learned, I think, from a writing place that I could expand what I write about. You know, I think I was very hesitant to talk, to get real, so to speak, or to get sincere, because my comedy was so drenched in irony, and, you know, it was so satirical and not really about me. But obviously, when you look deeper, it's all about me. You know, it's like that John Lennon thing when he talked about this "How Do You Sleep" song they wrote about Paul McCartney. I think there's some interviewers like, well, all this stuff is just about me. It's not really about anybody else. It's all just sort of, so even in my comedy and my satire, I'm examining the back of my brain stuff. But to be overtly kind of personal and non-ironic is as a tool, sort of a trait I've picked up in my adult years. So that's a winding answer to your question about, I think, the pandemic. But at the same time, I kind of was able to ingrain myself in this amazing world of musicians here in Los Angeles who are way better than me, and have similar tastes and similar interests and reference points and stuff. So I've been just really lucky to work with phenomenal players who I think elevate my music beyond measure.
Right. And even just like to allow yourself, as you're saying, to open the doors. I mean, that opens everything wider to what you can pull off, you know, to not have to just think like, oh, that's my brand, you know, that's what mm-hmm. I have to kind of adhere to. You can hear that in this record, because there are funny moments. I mean, we get that very first song, Wells Running Dry, which, by the way, very funny way to start set up an album, saying I'm out of ideas, but here's a record, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Enjoy the next 45 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, Ellie, my bass player and very deep collaborator on this record, is like, what an asshole move, you know, like, oh, you don't have any songs. Well, I do have a bunch of songs. Yeah.
I think you said this somewhere, like, this record was getting even further outside of your comfort zone. Was that a reference to sort of what we're talking about now? Is that a reference to the music side of it? Like, what were you talking about?
The music is very much in my comfort zone. You know, the band that I was touring with, the very good band, it's our record. I really wanted to, it's something I haven't really done, which is like really make a record with a band. Not just session, and some of them are session players and I've worked with them before, but this was us kind of doing it together, so that felt very warm. I think the comfort zone that I left is, I think, continuing to write songs that tap into deeper fears and deeper anxieties, and also to like try this sort of short storytelling format that happens sort of later in the record. And yes, use humor. I think there's humor throughout it, but you know, treat some of the songs as a bit of a you know, craftsman style songwriting technique of, you know, let's see if I could tell a little, you know, short story here, build characters, and be very sincere about it and not be ironic at all.
And we'll be right back right after this.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Tim Heidecker.
Obviously, there are some fan expectations, comedian, musician, which is a little unfair when you're trying to do something like this, I would think, because, you know, artists that you've talked about, artists that I love, when we talk about Nielsen or Warren Zevon and Randy Newman, I mean, no one ever said they were comedian musicians. They're just musicians that happen to also be great storytellers that happen to also be funny. How much of that does that ever nag you? Like, there's that those expectations out there that you might have to battle against?
I think with every record it diminishes, and I think it's always going to be there, and if I pay very close attention to it, I will find it. But for the most part now, there are just people in my audience who understand it and like it and are going to like other, you know, now I'm at that phase where they're like, you know, I liked high school better than Fear of Death, but I'm more of an In Glendale guy. You know, so there's like, I've now built, which always happens. It's like the first wave is always like pretty negative and confused and not. And now there are people who have opinions within this genre of my work that, you know, can argue about it. So, the more you do something, more references people have of it, and they can now start comparing it to each other. But I think the idea of like, is this a joke, is not, it is kind of starting to loosen and go melt away into the sea, if this idea is an iceberg.
But that's gotta feel great, you know. It's gotta feel great, and especially in this arc of a discography, you know, like you brought up high school. I of course had that idea or that album in my mind a little bit as I'm hearing songs like Dad of the Year, going, well, if high school is a bit of a concept album, is this record the other side of that coin? Because it feels like it's the further, you know, the other part of it.
Yeah, I think all my records, I feel like I need a concept somewhere. I love albums. I love, you know, I don't like records that are just a bunch of random songs and displays of talent and ego. Like I want to like go on a little trip, you know. And I don't, you know, maybe there's a musical or a rock opera in me down the line, but I never get too like literal. But yeah, I think high school was very much like a reflection on those years in my younger years that I kind of swept under the rug for a long time. And this is middle age again. And it's also kind of, I like to think of it as like kind of before and after the fall, or something terrible. I feel like it's tapping into this vibe that we all have lately. It's a little different this past couple of weeks because it feels like a little bit of somewhat kind of a release of tension or something.
Isn't that
with
fun?
What's going on in the
unexpected
world?
Yeah.
Yeah. But in general, it's been definitely a feeling of kind of dread and not knowing what's coming and fantasizing. There's a lot of media right now that fantasizes about an apocalypse or what life would be like after an apocalypse. So that's what this record kind of taps into. And I think it's like a side A is sort of like before that, and side B a little more after that. And I do I like this. Coming up with titles is always challenging and hard. And I like that Slipping Away can have this dual meaning. And in the beginning of the record, it's very much like taking some mushrooms and getting away and being happy and lit, and becoming kind of content, and also the side B is slipping away, like everything's slipping away. Everything that we hope is good in the world feels like it's slipping away. So those are the themes of the record, and I hope that translates when people listen to it.
I think a lot of people would have flipped those sides, and I think I appreciate the album even more knowing that you didn't. But it's like, oh, we've got to have a little hope at the end. Although,
there is a little hope.
The kid at the end. Is that your kid? Or a kid?
Yeah. That's my daughter Amelia at the very end, and I had her like quadruple stack and we just kind of overdubbed it to get this like sound of a kind of strange chorus. And she was a good sport about it.
Yeah, that music in Bells and Whistles, man, is that beautiful.
Bells are ringing. No bells and whistles on this one.
You know what I did? That's the new Bright Eyes single, Bells and Whistles.
Yeah, beautiful recording of, but I think my guitar player, Connor, has all these pedals and sounds that he can get. He's all these echoes and delays and synth things that run through his guitar and just make such a beautiful palette.
Bows and arrows. And I'm thinking that line in there, considering what you just said, but the cockroaches are going to be fine.
The cockroaches. That's kind of an old, I don't remember not thinking that, when the nukes come, the cockroaches will be left,
There's the bit of hope right there. The cockroaches are going to be fine.
Yeah, sure.
You're right. That's been on my mind. It's been in the interviews a lot too. There was a point where a lot of my interviews, people were starting to write about like space or, universe, moon, whatever. And it made sense because I'm like, oh, that's an escapist thing. It comes up in the zeitgeisty sort of way, where everybody's doing it. Nobody's really talking about it, but they're all doing it at the same time. And it's like, that makes sense in this escape moment. And then that hopelessness moment, I remember I was doing an interview. It was with the Josh Homme, who's way more optimistic than he deserves to be. He's great to talk to. But the whole conversation was like, what if nothing, though? What if nothing, none of it matters? None of this matters. Not a game. And it's just, here we go. And that's a weird place to lose yourself in musically.
Yeah, I'm not there yet. That might be the next record.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Tim Heidecker.
I also wanted to bring up that this song, Hey, Would You Call My Mom For Me? First off, great melody.
Thank you.
Really great melody. It was playing through my speakers, and I guess my phone was right here, and I've never seen this happen before. I mean, you have the Big Brother things where it's like, oh, now my ads are all about whatever. It was playing. And Waze, the traffic app, came up and asked me if I needed to find a shelter.
Oh, my God. Wow. Yeah, that's heavy. That was a song we were up on tour up in Vancouver. And if you've ever been to Vancouver, and a lot of cities have this now, but Vancouver's kind of famous for a sort of a district that's just like zombie town. I mean, it is scary. It is very disturbing. And I was walking around, and a kid, like I was walking around in the morning, and there wasn't really anyone around. And this kid asked me that. He said, "Would you call my mom?" And I was like, I kind of froze, and I just gave him money. I didn't want to get I didn't know how to deal with that situation. You know, it was like, I gave him $20 and said, I'm sorry, I don't know how to get in touch with your mom. He wasn't very cogent, but it stuck with me so much. And I mean, it was definitely, you know, feeling after the pandemic, this really a lot of, in LA, a lot of homeless encampments. And I didn't want to write that. It was a terrible Genesis song called Living in Paradise or something. And it was all these homeless people in the street. So again, vulnerable and, but you know, honest. And it was just this riff I just kept playing on tour every backstage with this acoustic guitar we had, and I couldn't get it out of my head. So had to record it.
Yeah. I'm glad you did. Like I said, it's one of my favorite moments of the record. I really do think so.
Thank you.
So you're going to cover the Genesis song live when you play that though, right?
Yeah. We'll keep the energy positive.
You're playing some show. Did I see with, you're playing several people in Snowmail, but Waxahachie, you got Katie.
Yeah.
You doing opening for Katie?
Yeah. Yeah. We share the same manager, so that helped. And we're friends, and Ellie, my bass player, is her bass player. So there's a lot of cross currents going on there. I'm friends with her and friends with Kevin, her partner, Kevin Morby. So we have mutual admirers of each other.
Yeah. Her record,
I look forward to that.
Just incredible. Every single time. I'm such a big fan of what she does. Every time she's on, we end up talking about Michael Stipe, I think, most of the interview. So that also is.
You know, I have a distinct memory of hearing her on the radio when her last record came out, St. Cloud. And I'm always suspicious of these new art. You know, I'm just like, wax a what? Get out, like, and all right, and come on, this is the new flavor. Let me hear. Is this gonna be the same old shit, same old stuff? And I was like, this is great. Oops, I like this. I'm actually really into this.
It's pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
So you got the tour then. The album comes out October 18th. You got the official office hours. Does just go on endlessly?
I guess, yeah. I don't see a way out. I think I'm trapped. I love doing it, and it's a lot of fun, actually. So I'm happy to keep doing it. And yeah, just, you know, my career is one big weird mess that, you know, I just did a bunch of acting. So there'll be a bunch of movies and stuff coming out next year that I'm in. And
what's that, Y2K, right? Y2K.
Yeah, I was going to write Kyle. I'm not sure when that's coming out, but
that's December.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah, I'm really interested because it, like, I haven't seen the clip. It wasn't there. You know, it was a South by. I didn't go this year. I think it did some premiering there, but just the concept of this. I don't know anything about it other than it's A24 and the millennial moment. And I'm like, yeah, I'm
sure
this,
it's
I think.
Great. I got to be. Mary, my wife in the movie was, she was in Clueless. What's her name?
Alicia Silverstone?
Yeah, of course. We played mom and dad in that movie. So I got to hang out with her a bunch. It was pretty fun. Yeah.
And more movies beyond that, I think is what you were saying.
More movies beyond that. Yep. I'm in the new Star Trek reboot as Captain Kirk. So that'll be, no.
Is that true? Kidding.
No, 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 no. I just like,
you know,
the
there's
way
enough
that
animation
sounded.
Out there that I believed you there for a second. I was like, that's possible. Why wouldn't it be possible?
Yeah. Could do a good Kirk.
There's enough of that out there. I really do love this record. And I mean that. I really
Thanks,
do
man.
Love this record.
Thank you.
I added Wells Running Dry to rotation at WFPK, so we're gonna start spinning that and getting that
nice.
Out there. So hopefully I'll be able to see one of these shows as well.
Yeah, we were in Louisville last summer at the in Slaughtertown or whatever, Butchertown.
Butchertown.
Yeah, that was a trip. That was a great show, though.
You get that on the Whirling Tiger, I guess, is where you probably were.
Yeah, that was really, we had Bonnie Prince Billy come up and do a song with me. So
nice. Yeah.
Real, real pleasure.
He's usually riding around on his bike with his little puppy in his backpack. That's where I see Will a lot of the time. He's got a little puppy keeps in his backpack.
Nice.
Yeah. Something about that, you know, that mystery of Bonnie Prince Billy that we had in the 90s. And then you see him just, you know.
He's just dad. I know. I real quick, I had the same experience about 10, 15 years ago. We went, my wife and I became friends with Charles Thompson, a.k.a. Frank Black from the Pixies, and his wife. And he, at the time, they had a bunch of young kids. They're living outside of Portland. And I went up to stay with them for the weekend. And it just blew my mind because I was in this minivan with Frank Black driving around a bunch of kids and him wearing Crocs and shorts. And I'm like, this isn't, you know, I was a huge Pixies freak when I was in high school. And I'm like, this is just a dad, you know, he's a cool guy. He's cool as hell. But it was definitely like how I think about my life now too. It's like, yeah, I'm just going to work Crocs and dad shorts and go to the mall with my kids and all is well.
Let the demystification happen on its own when you run into something. Yeah. Yeah, I've been in the bakery with the Slint guys. That's its own thing. Thinking of more in that scene from around here, you know, it's
yeah.
Oh, which scone are you getting? Yeah, that's breadcrumb trails. I guess there was a joke there. Anyway.
Well, it's nice to hear first reactions of the record because no one's heard it yet. So thanks for making me feel good about it.
Right on, man. I do enjoy it. Congrats on it, man. And thanks for taking the time to talk about it.
Yeah, nice talking to you.
My thanks to Tim. The new album is called Slipping Away. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, please do hit that subscribe button. You made it this far, you might as well. You'll get 3 new interviews sent to you every week, just like this one. New one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, anywhere you get your podcast from, including Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give the series a rating and a review as well. After all that, you can head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. It's the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Tom Waits, The Darkness, Teddy Swims, U2, Talking Heads, Blondie, Patti Smith, Don Felder, Shovels and Rope, K's Choice, Arlo Parks, Laura Marling, King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, Humble Pie, ZZ Top, and my interview with Keanu Reeves and his band Dogstar. Again, just an example of what you can hear when you tune in weeknights at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Thanks, Kyle.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.